Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mona Montgomery with this evening's edition of The Hula Hoax. There were no gas chambers. There was no pure Jew fat soap. There were no Jew skin lampshades. And there were no Mengelian experiments. What there were concentration camps, because Hitler had decided that the Jewish Bolsheviks, who were in the process in Russia of crucifying, torturing, and killing 65 million white Christian Russians, needed to be put in cages. The problem isn't that the Americans have distinguished themselves as being as bad as Saddam Hussein. The problem is that the Americans are now revealing themselves to be as bad as the Jews. The Jews are the ones who practice these hideous, sadistic sexual tortures against the Palestinians at the rate of 850 a year. Saddam Hussein, to my knowledge, did not torture his people on a whole-scale level, as we've been told. This is clearly atrocity propaganda. Nobody has offered any proof whatsoever that Saddam Hussein put his people into shredder machines. This is clearly Jewish lies, just like the Jewish lies about Dr. Mengele sewing children up with wires to make them look like Siamese twins. We do know that Saddam Hussein has been falsely accused of gassing the Kurds. The Kurds were gassed not by Iraqi gas, but by Iranian gas, and it happened during a war between Iran and Iraq. So, what we have now that we see that our boys and girls from the Middle West have been trained to commit sadistic atrocities against the Iraqis is a situation where Israel has gotten so much control over our country that they're now bringing us down to the subhuman level and forcing our children to trade in their souls to their satanic god by forcing our children to commit immoral, mortal sins against heaven. I'd like to address myself to the question of how did these photographs get released? Photographs were released and taken by the innocent American boys and girls who were following orders by doing what their superiors told them to do. They didn't have a sense of guilt. They trusted their superiors to be fair with them, just as a newcomer to the police department takes orders from his superior, and when he completes a job properly done, he gives the thumbs up. That's a professional symbol saying, I did it, boss. I did my job right. Are you happy with me? That's how we know that these kids were ordered to do these atrocities by hires up. They were not out of control. They were under control. And certainly, the Jews have been committing these sexual atrocities on the Palestinians at the rate of 850 a year. So we know, wait a minute, it's more than that. 850 a year, maybe that's the correct number. So we know that this is a Jewish form of torture. It is absolutely. You can tell the manufacturer of the product, not just by the label, but by examining the product itself. This is a Jewish product. Just as Alan Dershowitz has been trying so hard to explain to our media that we need to introduce torture into our statecraft. And other Jews also have been trying to tear down the Sixth Amendment, that is essentially an American's concept, against cruel and unusual cruel and unusual punishment. The Jews have been trying to tear down that amendment along with our freedom of speech. So this is a Jewish product, manufactured and produced by Jews, and our poor little boys and girls have been following the orders of their superiors, and the reason that they took the pictures is because they thought they were doing the right thing. In their innocence, they were proud of following orders so well that they had no sense of guilt about taking the pictures. And some of them not only were innocent, but also intelligent, and they knew this was wrong, and they were the ones who turned the photographs over to the news media. That's how this happened, and that's how we know that these boys and girls, these young American military people, were not guilty, but their superiors were. The proof is in the product. You look at sadistic sexual torture, and you know it's coming from the Middle East.
look at Israel specifically, and you see that it has a specifically Israeli twist to it. So we know that it comes from the Middle East. It does not come from Americans. It could not have come out of the imagination of young Americans who were born in the Middle West of America. This is not what Americans do. It's not part of the American spirit. It's part of the Israeli spirit. We can use simple logic to prove that these children did not make up these atrocities. Then, by the high sign, the thumbs up, we know that they were obeying orders. And by the innocence with which they took the pictures, we know that they didn't consider themselves guilty. The fact that some of their number were somewhat superior in intellect and turned those pictures over to the news media pretty much exonerates them as a class. These sadistic sexual atrocities have to be thoroughly investigated. I guarantee you it will go up to Rumsfeld, who was taking orders from the likes of Dershowitz and Ariel Sharon. He has to be fired, and the Israeli influence has to be ripped out of our American military once and for all. It's really sad that Americans who have the legacy of our founding fathers can't differentiate between the voices of humans and the voices of subhuman demonic monsters. The Brits are not civilized. The Brits have used torture as part of their statecraft forever. That's one of the main reasons that Americans made the fatal mistake of separating off from England. We should not have done that. We should have held our mother country to task and persuaded England to give up their barbaric practice of torture. The American Indians are used by the KKK to commit atrocities that the white man cannot do. He is a savage. He is a subhuman. The Jews have been practicing sadistic sexual torture against the Palestinians for 60 years at the rate of 850 victims a year. America has to differentiate herself, must individuate herself, must stand on the Sixth Amendment and say, we will not participate. We are going forward into civilization, to the glory of God, to create a higher order. And we have to say no to the Brits and no to the subhuman Indian savages and no to the barbaric schizophrenic Jews in order to once again reinstate ourselves as Americans before we can create an environment where technological progress can go forward in a meaningful way. We will never have the kind of psychological environment in which innovation can take place until we root out of our culture those barbaric subhuman elements that are holding us back. It is not human nature to torture. It's the nature of Satan to torture. Jesus made this very clear to us. Jesus taught us that Satan worship produces a lower level human being than understanding that God is love. So when you hear the Jew or the Brit or the subhuman Indian savage or the subhuman Mayan or the sub-Saharan African blithely standing by and saying torture is human nature, the challenge is to differentiate yourself from these groups of Satan worshippers and stand on the example of Jesus Christ and say, this is not Christ's nature. This is not my nature. This is your nature. It is not my nature. That's the point I'm trying to make. Jesus taught us that there is a difference between good and evil, that Satan is different from a God of love. Christianity was formed to help the human race separate itself like a molecule where part of it goes this way and part of it goes that way, because otherwise we're never going to get to a point where we actually glorify God as the human race that we're evolving into. We cannot take with us these elements that enjoy human torture. It simply can't work. these acts of torture, sexual sadistic torture, were not perpetrated against the Iraqis in retaliation for anything. There was no uncontrollable impulse at work here. These young men and women who came out of the Midwest of the United States were innocent white people, were obviously following orders. They were giving the thumbs up sign to their superiors in those photographs saying, "Did I do a good job, boss?" They were ordered to commit these atrocities in a planned attack against the spirit of the Israelis, as well as against the attack, an attack against the spirit of Americans. The American spirit eschews human torture. The British spirit does not. We know that. We should not have had the Revolutionary War against America. When our founding fathers came over this country and realized that they were free from the religious oppression of the Brits, they went overboard when they kicked mom and dad in the face, and they left mom and dad without the protection of their adolescent children who were growing into adulthood, and that was wrong. But that doesn't make mom and dad any less the evil perpetrators that they are, as mom and dads often are. I mean, none of our parents are perfect. And I'm not saying that's an excuse for disloyalty. But that does not give the Brits, make the Brits morally correct in practicing torture. They are morally incorrect to practice torture. The fact that they practice torture and believe in torture and promote torture, sometimes with a little cute little giggle about how sexy it is. There's that undercurrent of sexuality to the British attitude toward torture, which is why they cannot understand, no matter how much evidence we bring them, that Hitler did not commit the atrocities he is accused of committing, because they would have done them. Just like the Jews continue to promote these ridiculous fairy tales about Dr. Mengele sewing up little babies with wires until they get all pussy and horrible and then die, because they, the Jews, are subhuman people who practice torture. We know that. We know what they are because we have now been into the archives in Russia since the Berlin Wall fell. We now understand from talking to the Russians that they were busy crucifying, torturing, raping, and killing 65 million white Christian Russians while Hitler's men were being disciplined and kicked out of the military if they even raped anybody or came close to it on the battlefield. There is a difference between one people and another people, one race and another race, one family and another family, one school and another school. There are differences. And I'm sorry to tell you that the Brits do not rank that high, whereas once they were the finest and the highest of all of the races on the planet, they have intermarried and intermixed with the Jews so much that their blue eyes and their blonde hair have turned brown. They think like Jews. They act like Jews. They are very much Jewish, and they do believe this is human. Rut. Suck. Fuck. This is what God wants us to be. This is spirit. This is chutzpah. No, it's Jewish. We know that there were murders, that some of the prisoners died due to this torture, at least two of them. Some of the reports are as high as 9, I believe. There has been a thorough investigation, which started about a year ago when the Red Cross started reporting these atrocities, and Rumsfeld knew about this. This latest report was as a result of a thorough investigation where many witnesses testified before the hearing, and they found out the rest of the story. Everything isn't in the pictures, although more pictures are coming. But they have witnesses, credible witnesses, who say that they used broomsticks and some kind of a phosphorus-type light, like a flashlight, to anally rape these prisoners. And this is torture. Anyone who does not recognize this as torture, it does not deserve to be classified as a human being.
How much is that doggy in the window? The one with the waggly chair. How much is that doggy in the window? I I do hope that doggie's for sale. I must take a trip to California and leave my poor sweetheart alone. If he has a dog, he won't be lonesome, and the doggie will have a good home. How much is that doggie in the window? The one with the waggly tail. How much is that doggie in the window? I do hope that doggie's for sale. I read in the papers there are robbers with flashlights that shine in the dark. My love needs a doggie to protect him and scare them away with one bar. I don't want a bunny or a kitty. I don't want a parrot that's tall. I don't want a bowl of little fishies. He can't take a goldfish for a walk. How much is that doggie in the window? The one with the waggly tail. How much is that doggie in the window? I do hope that doggie's for sale.
In May of 1994, Mustafa's Diran, head of the security division in the Shiite movement, was abducted and taken to Camp 1391 in Israel. He was tortured by Major George, an Israeli soldier. Dirani was twice subjected to sexual abuse. In the first case, George called in four of the soldiers who were doing guard duty in the facility, and one of them raped Dirani at George's orders. In another case, Dirani says George himself inserted a wooden stick into his rectum. Tien, an interrogator at the facility, admitted that it was customary practice to threaten to insert a stick into a prisoner's rectum. Quote, the intention was that the stick would be inserted if the subject did not talk. Unquote. He remembers at least one case where something like that was done, he says. Again, this officer George, Major George, was interrogating one of the prisoners. He called in S and me. This is the interrogator talking about the sexual atrocities of this Israeli Jew, Major George. Major George called in the prisoner and me. We both came into the room, and the prisoner dropped his pants and remained in his underwear. Was told by George that he would be raped in the ass. I remember for certain that the situation was a threat of rape. The interrogator who's making this confession about the sexual atrocities perpetrated on the Israeli Jews against the Palestinian goes on to say, quote, I want to add about that prisoner that he had arrived in the room naked, handcuffed, and with his head covered. The prisoner and I were in the room, and one of us led him around the room, and the other held the stick next to his rear end with provocation and threat that because he had been caught lying, the stick would be shoved up his ass. When I say the stick was moved around next to his rear end, the idea was to touch his bottom with the stick and maybe even to shove it next to the rectum so he would think we were really going to stick it in. This was commonplace sexual torture practiced against the Palestinians by the Jews, and now we see our American military being trained in these practices by the Jews. In his defense, Major George testified that everything he did was done with Israel's authority and authorization. Quote, everyone knew everyone gave their backing, and now everyone denies it all. Unquote. Major George denied that he had ever raped a prisoner, but he admitted that he often had the prisoner stand naked while being interrogated. To Israel's credit, Major George was dismissed from serving in the Israeli army. Ahmed Ali Banjak was a Lebanese citizen who was brought to Israel and interrogated in Camp 1391. He was anally raped by his Israeli tormentors. His affidavit states that a confession had been extracted from him under torture. He said that he had been beaten with a wooden stick between the legs and forced to sit on a wooden stick until it penetrated into his body. After 40 days in solitary confinement, one prisoner testified that the Israeli guards led him from one solitary confinement cell to another, made the prisoner enter the new solitary confinement cell with a pail of human filth, and told him to empty it into the hole of the Turkish toilet, a euphemism for a hole in the floor. As I emptied the pail, the soldiers turned on a powerful jet of water so that I and my clothes were dirtied by the human excrement in the pail I was forced to carry. Quote, they made me wash the pail. I demanded to wash myself and told them I was a worshiper, but I would not be able to pray while I was dirtied with excrement. This was the first time I saw running water there. I spoke so angrily that they agreed to let me wash myself. I asked for a towel, and one of the soldiers went to my cell and brought the rag, which had an unbearable stench. Unquote. In the Israeli torture, which involves excrement, we see their strange fascination for human feces and filth, which comes out in their crude humor. Israel's late Prime Minister Rabin said publicly in a radio interview that 8,000 Palestinians were subjected to the method of interrogation of shaking. Shaking is a euphemism for strangling, and in some cases, prisoners have been shaken or strangled to death. The Israelis justify their authorizing torture against the Palestinians as the only defense against people who have the Israelis under siege. This is totally absurd, considering the fact that it is the Israelis who have assaulted the Palestinians from day one, when they drove 750,000 Palestinians off the Israeli side of the partition plan, and then took 75% of the portion of the partition plan which was designated to belong to the Palestinians. They continue to invade Palestine, all the while using their control over the American media to pretend that it's Palestine who is invading Israel. Having been denied all truth from the Jew-controlled media in America, Americans now believe the foolish story that Arabs attacked us on 9/11 when it was clearly a Mossad operation. And we are seeing our American soldiers, men and women, indulging in hideous Jewish torture practices, risking their eternal souls to fight a war that is clearly intended to turn Greater Israel over to the Jews, everything in the Middle East from Egypt to Iraq. We see our young men and women committing atrocities against the Iraqis that are commonplace in Israel. Here's a typical account given by a 15-year-old Palestinian, Riyad Faraj, who was arrested for throwing stones in late 1987. Quote, they handcuffed me and beat me during the journey to Faraa, a military prison in Nablus. Once we arrived, they took me to a doctor for a checkup. I found out later that this checkup was to locate any physical weaknesses to concentrate on during torture. They paid particular attention to my leg, which was once injured and still sensitive. Before they began interrogation, they asked me if I was ready to confess. Then they hanged me by my wrists, naked, outside in the cold, and gave me hot and cold showers alternatively. A hood covered in manure was put on my head, unquote. Again we see the strange penchant of the hideous, depraved Jews for human excrement. Why did the pictures show smiles and grins on the faces of the American military? That, too, is characteristic of Jewish torture. The question has been asked, why did the Americans take pictures of their tortures of the Iraqis? The answer comes in studying the past history of the torture masters, the Israeli Jews. Apparently, they have a history of taking photographs of themselves with their torture victims. Quote, occasionally our blindfolds would be removed so that a group of soldiers could have a picture taken standing over us, to prove how brave they were, I suppose, unquote. Of the Israeli human rights organization B'Tselem has said, quote, many of the former detainees we have talked to say they have been beaten, apparently, just for the amusement of the soldiers. Bassem Kashour testified to B'Tselem that he was beaten, kicked, and hit with rifle butts during the 24 hours he was held handcuffed and blindfolded at the Beit El Military. It's not so much the damage that's done to the torture victims, although that's very significant, as the damage that's been done to our American boys and girls in getting them to lower their standards below that which is human by the Israeli Jews who practice these tortures that involve human excrement rather regularly against the Palestinians. We also see, when we study the tortures of the Jews against the Palestinians, the torture that we saw where we saw the guy in the picture with the hood over his head standing on a stool with electrodes attached to various parts of his body. This is called chair perching, bag over head, and is commonly practiced in Israel against the Palestinians because it's a very, very difficult thing to have to perch on a chair for long, long periods of time. Of course, the photograph doesn't show us how long a period of time this victim was forced to perch on this chair, but we can be sure that it was long enough to come up to the standards of torture set by the Israeli Jews. Military base near Ramallah. He reports that he and other detainees were ordered to shout, 1, 2, 3, Arafat is a maniac. Then they were told to repeat, 1, 2, 3, Israelis are maniacs, at which point the severity of their beatings increased. According to his account, a bottle of cold water was poured over him, and he was hit in the face with the empty bottle. He passed out and awoke the next morning trembling and weak. He says he was covered with a blanket only when a medic intervened. Refud Fadayel, 24, was left handcuffed and blindfolded by the Israeli Jews in Israel on gravel for 2 days. Soldiers prevented him from sleeping by playing loud music and kicking him. Every time a tank crew returned, he says, he and his brother, Fayek, were hit and kicked in the stomach and back and face. They were doing it for fun, he said. Fadayel says that whenever he was transferred by bus between Ramallah and Jerusalem, he was hit with batons every time he moved his head.
Thank you for listening tonight, ladies and gentlemen, to this evening's edition of The Holohoax.
I'd like to define mud people for the people who are interested in knowing where that phrase came from. It came from the Anglo-Saxons, who are, of course, blue-eyed blondes, primarily, and they could not help but notice that the brown-eyed
brown-skinned people of the world came from shit countries and were incapable of elevating their consciousness above the level of rutting, sucking, and fucking. Hence the term mud people. They are born of the mud, they look like mud, and all they think about is merde, which of course is French for shit.
It's not treating women like shit to have a society in which the woman is acknowledged as being a mother of children and a wife to a husband. It may not be the Western point of view where a woman is also allowed to be part of philosophical and political discussions. But what's more important, a woman's right to speak freely about her passion regarding politics, or a woman's right and duty to have children and care for them under the control and care of her husband? How can you equate that philosophical attitude toward women, which you may or may not believe is correct, limiting the woman as it does in the Eastern society to only producing children and serving a husband, with the characteristic of women in our society, who are expected to give up their natural proclivities to creating a family in exchange for supporting a godless society that demands of the woman that she respect and honor the idea of torture. We have seen torture, real torture, committed by Americans. Americans who have the legacy of the founding fathers to commit no torture. And we've seen them committing this torture with thumbs up and cute expressions on their faces like, this is really fun, isn't it? And it isn't. It isn't right. We have lost our moral compass. This moral depravity should not be tolerated. We need to all be ashamed, and we need to delve into what influence, what force has made decent American youth, young men and women, behave in a manner of demonized monsters. And of course, you know where the answer will come. The answer will come from an understanding of the Jew. The Jew has been persecuting and torturing the Palestinians for 60 years. Is it any surprise then that after the attack on 9/11, when we were asked to go to war in the Middle East to support the Jewish mandate for Greater Israel, which is everything from the Egypt to the Euphrates River, which is Iraq, should our people not be surprised that they're having the harness of Israel put upon their necks and being asked to go to war for Israel in a war that does not in any way support the interests?
Maybe I'll get a car, Maybe I'll drive so far they'll all lose track. Me, I'll bounce right back. Maybe I'll sleep real late. Maybe I'll lose some weight. Maybe I'll clear my junk. Maybe I'll just get drunk on apple wine. Me, I'll be just fine.
Supposedly, we're not in the Middle East in relationship to Israel. The comment that was just made was that, are we doing the right thing to be in the Middle East in relationship to Israel? Well, we're not supposed to be in the Middle East in relationship to Israel, but it was an interesting Freudian slip, because the truth is we are in the Middle East in relationship to Israel. This war is about Israel. This war is about Americans being used to further the interests of Israel in order to give to Israel what they consider their biblical boundaries, which is all of the land in the Middle East between Egypt and the Euphrates, which is Egypt to Iraq. That is what's called Greater Israel. And it's a complete hogwash. And in answer to the question, should we have gone to war in the Second World War? No, we should not have. That was also a war fought over whether or not the Jews should be given Greater Israel. Remember that the Balfour Declaration was signed in 1919 between the Lord Balfour in England and the international Jewish community, which said, if you will support us in our war, meaning England's war against Germany, we promise to deliver unto you, the international Jewish community, Israel. Israel, the entire Middle East, was to be turned over to the Jews in exchange for the Americans being more or less hoodwinked into going into war against the Germans in the Second World War. The Balfour Declaration was signed during the First World War, and it promised that during the Second World War, America would be used to defeat Germany. And that's kind of what happened. America went to war against Germany, who was her racial cousin, alongside of the communists who then got in control of our government, and did in fact turn over Israel to the Israelis. At that time, it was just a small section of Israel known as the Partition Plan, in which the agreement was that the Israelis would allow the Palestinians to continue residing on the Israeli side of the Partition Plan and not expand their boundaries beyond the Partition Plan. But as early as day one, from whence the Jews took over the Israel in 1948, they drove off the 750,000 Palestinians from the Israeli side of the Partition Plan through the use of torture, terror, and murder. Since then, and involved in which was the attempt to sink the USS Liberty, they have expanded their boundaries over to 75% of the Palestinian side of the Partition Plan, which the Israelis still call them being under siege by the Palestinians, when in fact the Palestinians are under siege at the effect of the Israelis. At the same time, the Israelis are now teaching our young American women and men how to torture the Iraqis using the Israeli methods of torturing the Palestinians, and it's time to call a halt to it and say, no, America does still believe in the Sixth Amendment against cruel and unusual punishment, and we are not going to be pulled into the barbaric Israeli position, which is that God speaks to them audibly and tells them to torture people. Well, the white race does exist. It is not comprised of Jews and Asians and Turks and Hispanics. It is a race. It has its own characteristics, and people should be judged according to their own race. It would not be fair to judge an individual Negro by the white man's standards, because he is a Negro and not a white man. He has only 75% of the reasoning capacity of the white man. So how unfair would it be to judge the Negro on an individual basis against the white man's standards? It would be unfair. My understanding of the differences between races is gentle and kind and merciful. The Jewish standard, which says everyone needs to be judged according to their individual talents, is cruel, because it would not be fair to judge the average Negro according to the white man's standards. The races are different. They were created different by nature, or, if you will, by God. And they serve different functions in the universe. We don't understand what those differences are, but we can clearly see the difference. I'm not even addressing the issue of the cruelty of the races, although if you measured the cruelty of one race against the other, you would find, naturally, that the race with the least intelligence, which is the black race, is by far the most cruel race. The race with the most intelligence, which is the white race, is by far the most gracious and giving race, to the point where they send missionaries into Africa to preach the word of God and Christ, knowing they're going to end up in stupa. This is how kind and gracious the white man is. The Asian man is approximately in the middle. He's not particularly gracious and kind. These Asiatic despots have been known to inflict cruel punishments on criminals, like having their tongues cut out or having their heads screwed by boxes and screws into weird shapes until they die. They're not an advanced race, the Asian race, but they're not as bad as the blacks, and they're not as good as the whites. There does appear to be a hierarchy of races on this particular planet, with the black man at the bottom, the Asian in the middle, and the white man on top. If you judge human beings according to character, like mercy, kindness, intelligence, creativity, and those things. If, as the Jew does, you're going to judge men by money, then you create a criminal environment in which it doesn't matter how you get your money. You can kill people, torture people, rape people, lie to people, as long as you get your money. That makes you excellent. But no intelligent person of any race believes this.
See you next week, same time, same station.